This is Jay Sekulow with 2 days left in the Obama administration. We're looking at last-minute issues and taking a look back.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
No matter what you've heard, if you like your doctor or healthcare plan, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan.
I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
A few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia, not Al-Qaeda. You said Russia. In the 1980s or now, calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
A few weeks ago, you allowed the UN Security Council to pass a resolution condemning Israel's settlements in the West Bank. It caused a major fallout between the United States and Israel. Was it your decision to abstain?
Yes, ultimately.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. There is just 2 days left of the Obama administration. We are going to take a look back and we're going to take a look forward. This is not to say that the president is not up to things. For instance, 10 additional Gitmo detainees were released to various countries today, leaving 41 in place. At this point, it looks like those 41 cannot go anywhere. But look, I don't put anything by him. I do think we successfully blocked any moves at the United Nations, and that was because of your great efforts helping us there. So that was a positive situation. Are we looking at some other pardons? There were some pardons yesterday, some commutations of sentences. Will he commute the sentence of, or that will he give a pardon to Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, and others? Possibly. That could literally happen the day as he's leaving. But we're going to take a look back, because the idea here is that once we play these bites for you today, we will not have to play them ever again. But this is what we've been dealing with for 8 years, so we're letting people know exactly what we've been dealing with for 8 years.
Yeah, and as we play through these today, and we are live, so we'd love to get your comments about your favorite cringeworthy Obama moments throughout these 8 years. So I think we have one positive in there about Saeed Abedini coming home and the administration, of course, because of the pressure put on by all of you. But a lot of these statements, I think, will go down as the more memorable in an unfortunate way. Statements made about our country, statements made about the life issue, statements made about foreign policy, statements made about terror attacks, and even foreign threats. So, and of course, domestic policy. So we'd like to get your thoughts, too, on the Obama greatest cringeworthy hits, if you will.
All right, Logan, we're going to be taking calls and comments as well so people can get engaged there. Then I'm going to play number two in a moment. Well, we play one in the open. Let me play this number two, then Logan will tell you what to do. This is one that I always bothered me, but this is, I told you he worshipped at the altar with Planned Parenthood. Here it is.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
Now, there you go. I will not yield, they will not yield. And one of the first acts I think you're going to see out of this Congress very quickly to Fan Bennett is going to be the defunding of Planned Parenthood. I think it's going to happen.
Not only the defunding of Planned Parenthood, Jay, but also the codification of the Hyde Amendment. Both of those things are going to happen in the first month of the new Congress, and President Trump has promised to sign them.
Yeah, I also think you'll see a return to the Mexico City policy. Hey, folks, we want to hear from you. Your comments. Lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Your moments with this president. What bothered you the most? What did you agree with? If there's some things you agree with that he did, we'll hear those too. 1-800-684-3110. And what do you expect to happen in the next 48 hours? We'll take your calls. Logan will let you know how you can engage.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110. You can join us on Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/JaySekulow, or on Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow Broadcasting live there. But phone lines are jamming up. I'm sure by the time you're hearing this, they will all be full. But if you want to keep trying, 1-800-684-3110, or even send us a tweet.
Yeah, we could do it. We'll take your tweets as well and comments on Facebook and Periscope. But as Logan said, lines are jamming up, but they'll open up. So 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about some of the other issues as well, but we're going to take a look back here. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll have a obviously broadcast looking at the inaugural, looking at the changes about to take place. Don't forget to support the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your comments, in just a moment.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ, become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking a look back. We're taking a look forward. Let me say this right off the bat. You're talking about a change at the United Nations. Jordan's still concerned, and I'll let him address this, that with the Security Council in session right now in New York, that there could still be more mischief. Now, I think that we had a good block with the UK blocking that last resolution, but it's something we need to look at. And then I'm going to play Nikki Haley, who's going to be our new U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, her statement. But go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think we still watch. We're kind of transitioning right now at the ACLJ. And this broadcast tomorrow, we're going to start really looking forward to the Trump administration and the inauguration on Friday. And we're going to be playing some of President Obama's most cringeworthy statements, and hopefully for
today,
the last time.
Yeah,
these are statements we've gone back to throughout the 8 years of his presidency that underscore kind of his worldview. And I think that to most people, they kind of they're troubling. But I think he lived up to all of these statements. So certainly when it comes to Planned Parenthood, yep, supporting abortion rights, his bizarre foreign policy. But I think today we'd like to put it to rest on the air.
Yep.
That does not mean that substantively at the ACLJ, we aren't keeping a very close eye on what this administration is going to be up to. I think with the Chelsea Manning pardon, that just shows you. You could see the Clinton team completely pardoned.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if that happens.
Power, the president can do
it.
Stop that.
Yep.
But I think they want you to stop looking their way these final couple of days when they do all these pardons. We will stay on it.
Yep.
But we want to start that positive focus starting tomorrow, really, on what
how
is
we move forward.
The changing.
Exactly. And by the way, our litigation that we have out against the United States Department of the State on the Iran deal, the litigation we have out against the IRS, all that moves forward. And that could actually be helpful to the new administration as well. But we've got to get answers to those issues. And that litigation is going to go forward. Because remember, I told to talk about this in my book, Undemocratic. The fact is, these bureaucrats are deep in this. Very, very deep in these bureaucracies. And that's why we're going to continue to fight. But I think it's important to understand the new tone at the United Nations. This was Nikki Haley, governor of South Carolina, before her committee on her confirmation as the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. The issue came up about Israel and BDS. Here you go.
I was the first governor in America to sign legislation combating the anti-Israel boycott, divest, and sanction, or the BDS movement. I will not go to New York and abstain when the UN seeks to create an international environment that encourages boycotts of Israel. In fact, I pledge to you this: I will never abstain when the United Nations takes any action that comes in direct conflict with the interests and values of the United States.
Well, there you have it. I mean, that's going to be a marked change from Samantha Powers, who, again, ultimately didn't make the call. As we heard in the open, it was President Obama made that call. Do we have that soundbite where he says he was the one who authorized? This is a this will tie right into this. Here's what the President of the United States, when asked about this with Steve Kroft from 60 Minutes, here's what he said.
A few weeks ago, you allowed the UN Security Council to pass a resolution condemning Israel's settlements in the West Bank. It caused a major fallout between the United States and Israel. Was it your decision to abstain?
Yes, ultimately.
Well, there you have it. So it was the President of the United States that set this in motion with literally hours to go. I mean, you know, in his administration, he was still, and I think they still are. So I think we have to be very careful here of the nature of what we're going to have. One of the ones that bothered me the most was the president denying the Judeo-Christian heritage of this country. And we'll take your calls on this as well at 1-800-684-3110. Before I get to that bite, though, Logan, what kind of comments are we getting?
Yeah, some comments are just starting to come in. A lot of people are asking about how we're going to be covering this election, how we're going to be covering this inauguration, okay, but also this presidency.
Okay, so let's talk about, I think those are three things that we're talking about. On the inauguration, so we will be obviously broadcasting tomorrow and Friday. Live, as you hear. Some of you hear us taped late in the evenings. If there's any new news that develops, we obviously will update it then. We may, depending on the situation, we may come in early on Friday and do a little thing before, or we may do something in the afternoon if we think there's newsworthiness to it. A lot of it will be festivities after the speeches. Yeah. I mean, so tomorrow is and Friday are really more festive. I think you're going to see the work start on the administration Monday. How are we going to cover the new administration? For I said this yesterday. We're moving into new facilities. We're going to be on the air a lot more, both on Facebook and Periscope, and also on our radio broadcasts and podcasts. So we're going to be able to come to you a lot more. We're going to be an honest broker where we agree with issues. We're going to push and say we agree. Where we disagree, we'll fight back.
We're not telling a party line.
We're not. We didn't in the election either.
I think there's some officials here that you know everybody's more comfortable with. Others that are bigger question marks. And there's a lot of promises that Donald Trump has got to carry through on. I know that if he doesn't, it will upset many of our listeners. So I think because we are in uncharted waters, this is not a lifelong politician, we don't know 100% what to expect. I think that people expect a lot of positive. I do believe there's going to be a significant positive change right off the bat. But does that continue? Does it fall back into business as usual? These are all important. Of course, there's major battles coming too, not just these confirmation battles, but also Supreme Court nominees. I mean, there's
that's
a vacancy
a
on the Supreme Court. So everybody's got to get ready to fight. This it's almost as if the election is not yet over because this will be the next the greatest battle since November will be that Supreme Court nomination.
So I want to talk about that for a moment, folks, because we're getting ready for that already. We're doing backgrounders on potential nominees. We're going to be prepared for that. But Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, our office in D.C., I'm going to be coming out of those offices in the next couple of days broadcasting, but that office in Washington is going to be hopping. These confirmations have gone pretty smooth. Whoever the Supreme Court nominee is, there is going to be a gigantic fight, and our office will kind of be command central.
Well, I can guarantee you that every gun from the other side, so to speak, is going to be aimed on that process. They're going to be – all of the dollars are going to be out for it, Jay. All of the forces are going to be facilitated. We will, of course, be pushing back. Let me just echo what you had – the conversation you had with Jordan, because remember, so many of these early fights, Jay, are going to take place in the bureaucracy with the entrenched bureaucrats, and not all of them are going to be gone. So we are going to have to continue to keep an eye on them. And, by the way, for the new regulations that are going to be positive – we're going to have to help make sure that there are people in place who know how to draft them. We can help with that process. So there's going to be a transition period that extends out for several weeks here in Washington, D.C.
I do want to play this soundbite, and then I'm going to take your calls, because this was one I thought that he did right at the beginning in June of 2009. This was within 6 months of being sworn in, that I think set the tone for the entire Middle East, but President Obama's entire presidency. Here it is, number three.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is although, as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
I think that worldview is what destroyed the Middle East as we know it. It also, I think, did harm to the United States. We are a nation that's founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and if you want to ignore history, that's fine. You could do that when you're elected president, but that's not the history. The history is we are founded on Judeo-Christian principles. All right, Logan, let's go to the phones, take some calls here.
All right, yeah, let's go to Roberta, who's calling in Colorado.
Hi, Roberta, you're on the air.
Hi, my question real quick is, yep, if this Congress does not get a defund Planned Parenthood on the desk of the president by February 14th, can he write an executive order?
No, you can't write an executive order to defund. That's the purse is controlled by the Congress. But what he could do executive orders that would be what we would call pro-life, or no foreign funding for abortion, Mexico City policies, things like that. But, Dan, we're pretty confident that this is going to move forward.
Yeah, this is going to happen. Actually, both the president and Speaker Ryan have promised it. And, Jay, this was the benefit of passing this last year. Remember, there were a lot of people that said, don't worry about passing this reconciliation package and including Planned Parenthood because President Obama is going to veto it. Well, by forcing them to pass it last year, it's now very difficult for those, even if they wanted to walk away from it, to do it. This bill is going to land on the president's desk, and he's going to sign it. Jay, there will be litigation after that.
Oh, we're going to be fighting Planned Parenthood in court.
But as far as that first step, yeah, it's getting signed.
Yeah, let me play number six for you. This is the president had this view from the beginning. It was true with his health care bill. It was also true with his view on abortion. Here it is.
In my mind, reproductive care is essential care. It is basic care. And so it is at the center and at the heart of the plan that I've proposed.
And Jordan, the truth is, it's been at the center and the heart of all of his policies domestically.
Oh,
abortion has been his issue.
I mean, with Obamacare, the reason why was a completely partisan vote was because of his insistence that Planned Parenthood receive more funding through the Affordable Care Act. He vetoed the defunding of Planned Parenthood. It's one of the, I think, reasons he was not able to reach across the aisle. He was so dedicated, as he promised to Planned Parenthood that he would be, to their issues, to fighting for their cause, that you saw the most pro-abortion present in history. And again, there was foreign funding, you know, getting rid of the Mexico City policy, which Donald Trump can reinstate on day one of his presidency. Certainly one of the early executive orders that can be taken in place. But also fighting in federal court anytime a state attempted to regulate, I'm not even talking about restrict, but regulate the abortion facilities. The Obama administration was filing lawsuits. So he had a very active Department of Justice when it came to fighting anybody who was going up against, yep, Planned Parenthood. And I want to make sure everybody remembers, the only non-Obama administration official in the room when they wrote the Affordable Care Act was Cecile Richards, from the president of Planned Parenthood, the only non-government official in the room.
Well, this, of course, is a president that says, I want to God bless you and God bless Planned Parenthood. Let's play that one. Number at 10.
Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. God bless America.
Well, there you have it. So if you say, thank you, Planned Parenthood, God bless you, and God bless America, that kind of tells you. I wouldn't put the word God in the same sentence with Planned Parenthood. That's my personal view. All right, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we come back from the break.
That's right. Join us. Phone lines are jammed, but we're going to take some more calls and Facebook comments, facebook.com/JaySekulo. And we'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulo Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ, become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. Let me tell you what's going to happen. People have been asking about Thursday and Friday and what's going to happen. So Thursday and Friday, starting tomorrow, we're going to be looking forward. We're looking back now. We're looking forward on Thursday and Friday. The fact of the matter is, President will give his then it will be President of the United States. President Trump will give his speech on Friday. He's saying that he's not taking any official action unless he has to
some
for an emergency.
Executive orders that you have to take in place. Maybe a couple other high priorities. So we'll wait and see what those are Friday. Maybe immigration. Repealing those immigration actions, but most Monday will be coming on Monday.
Yeah, so I think, you know, Monday you prepare for the battles to get these moving forward. And as we talked in the break, Than, you think a couple of nominations for the cabinet will probably get through this week.
Yeah, we don't know exactly which ones yet, Jay, but the Senate is going to come into session, and after the inauguration, the president will formally send down his list of nominees. And, Jay, any of them who have met the committee criteria will be approved in the Senate that afternoon.
So you think Mike Flynn and Ben Carson probably get approved right away?
I think those are two of them. Yep. The Mike Flynn one is not completely done yet. Yep. Some committee checks to still clear, but I think those are two of them. And there are going to be a few more. Jeff Sessions, by the way, Jay, he's not going to be one of them, but he doesn't have a problem. It's just going to take to February 3rd to clear the committee
requirement. I thought he did great. All right, Logan, let's go grab some calls and comments, and we'll take some flashbacks.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Mark, who's calling in New York, because a lot of comments are coming in of similar comment.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Jay. How are you doing?
Good,
I love your show.
Thanks.
In regards to Hillary Clinton and this pardon that everybody's talking about, my question is this, and maybe you can expound on the answer. Why or how can you pardon someone that's not been indicted or charged with anything yet? And I'll hang up and let you go.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Well, it's a good question, but the president's pardon power set forth in the Constitution is very broad. Richard Nixon was pardoned. He was not charged with violating a crime, He was not indicted. So the pardon power can be prospective. And it can be retrospective in the sense that you can commute sentences. You saw that yesterday. You can pardon people that have not even been charged yet as it relates to federal crimes. So the fact of the matter is the president has that authority. You may not know. It literally could happen as the president is driving from the White House to Capitol Hill. Is there any expectation, Than, right now on a Clinton pardon? I'm starting to hear that there is.
Yeah, I think there is some expectation, Jay, and I think there's even greater expectation for some of the staff. I mean, I'll tell you this. If I was Uma Abedin, if I was Cheryl Mills, I would want that pardon.
Yep.
You know, Hillary Clinton's maybe a little bit different measure because you don't know what Donald Trump will do, but if I was Uma Abedin or Cheryl Rhodes, maybe even somebody like Ben Rhodes, I would probably want that pardon.
Yeah, and look, the president has the right to do it, and that's it. All right, back to the phones we go. We'll get some more comments.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in California.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my phone call and all the ACLJ does.
Thanks.
I'm a citizen journalist in a blue county and a blue state wanting to say that President Obama was a masterful language warrior, and now our job as citizens is to support the Trump agenda and the communication war by continuing to write, blog, using social media, and listening to broadcasts like yourself, like the ones you do.
Well, Mike, I appreciate that. Logan was talking about this yesterday, but there may be a sea change at the White House regarding press coverage.
Right. That seems to be one of the rumors that's come out is that not only are we moving to a bigger facility, they'll be allowing other types of new media in. So we're talking about bloggers, journalists,
programs like ours,
radio shows, talk radio, podcasts, other forms of media where people are now getting media will now be allowed.
So no more just the New York Times, Washington, because it only seats 45 people.
They haven't said that for sure. That's just
I think it looks like I would expect that. I mean, the world's changed.
Yeah, I think that there'll be a transition. They've tried to tone down some of the media that was going nuts and saying, I can't believe they're kicking us all out. That's not the case. I think it's adding on to traditional media. But remember, it was Donald Trump who just last week refused to take a question from CNN and called him fake news.
Yep.
So they are going to have to do a lot of work, their executives as well, if they want to have the ability to ask the President of the United States a question. Now, will the White House press secretary, will Sean Spicer take their questions? Probably. I don't think he's in that same category. But to have access to the president himself, listen, these were years where the Obama years, remember Fox News had very difficult time ever getting President Obama. I think it was, you know, Bill O'Reilly one time maybe during that Super Bowl, which a few questions when he was asked about the IRS. I think we have a bite from that.
I watched the IRS.
But I think there's going to be a big change for the CNNs and MSNBCs, New York Times, and Washington Post.
Well, because those new media would not cover the real scandal of the IRS. Let's play number 11, then I'll set up number 13.
With this endless parade of distractions and political posturing and phony scandals, Washington's taken its eye off the ball. And I'm here to say this needs to stop.
Yeah, well, ends up being that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia said it was not a phony scandal. Democratic-appointed judges have said it was not a phony scandal, and that there was evidence of corruption and deep corruption, including targeted violations of First Amendment rights. Bill O'Reilly questioning President Obama on the IRS scandal. Listen to the president's response, his sarcasm. And now, of course, we've got the evidence, and we've won the case, but listen to this.
When don't folks answer unanswered questions?
Bill, when you actually look at the stuff, there have been multiple hearings on it. What happened here was is that you've got a 501c4 law that people think is confusing, that the folks did not know how to implement. Okay. Because it basically says...
So you're saying if there was no corruption there at all? No.
That's not what I'm saying. That's actually...
No, but I want to know what you're saying. You're the leader of the country.
Absolutely.
You're saying no corruption.
No.
None.
No, there were some boneheaded decisions.
Mass corruption.
Not even mass corruption, not even a smidgen of corruption.
Well, that was ended up being proved absolutely false by the courts around the country. So there you have that one. All right, let's go right back to the phone. Take more calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Barry's calling in California.
Hey, Barry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for your show and thank you for what you do.
Thank you, sir.
The two things I have ask you is, can ex-President Obama... will he be able to speak at the U.S. Congress or the Senate when it's in session anytime he wants?
No, he cannot. He has to be invited by the Congress, and I don't expect that invitation. It's very unusual for a former president to make that statement.
Yeah,
pardon him.
No, I mean, Congress, I would not. I'd say no. But he has access to the media. I mean, if he wants to speak, the media will cover it. It's just that former presidents haven't taken the media up on that. It's not that they don't ask. They fall back into the background, usually for at least a term or two. And then they start to reappear once again, maybe 4 to 8 years from now, campaign trails, other things. What he's worried about is that all of his policies are going to be undone. And so he's going to be fighting publicly with the Trump administration. So I don't expect him to be quite as silent former president as we've been accustomed to in America. And of course, he has First Amendment rights. If he wants to keep running his mouth on these issues and keep speaking out on them, he can.
I want to play this bite number 9. This was kind of sums up the presidency in the United States under Barack Obama. Here it is.
The problem is that, I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed.
Well, of course, that ended up not being his job because he was making it up as he went along, and including the immigration. And I think that's one of the first things, Than, we see changed.
Yeah, whoops. I mean, very shortly after that, he used his pen and his phone, and he said, people are ignoring the fact that I just took action to change the law. So those two statements didn't go together. But listen, he's not going away. How many times have you heard from George W. Bush over the last 8 years? I am guessing that this president will surpass that in the first month after he's out of office.
I suspect that's right, but we are not going to be playing these old bites unless it's relevant. I mean, this was, Logan, the idea was to bury these bites.
That's right.
Unless it's relevant for
him. Yeah, I think we've all heard enough of them. After 8 years or 9 years, some of the ones that were on the campaign trail first time around. We've heard enough of them. Let's finish it up. Go out
look
strong.
Forward.
Greatest hits. Farewell tour. And never have to think about them again.
Right,
I'm sure we'll have new bites, like you said.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of new bites, I'm sure, going forward. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, tell everybody how to get the next 30 minutes.
That's right. You can join us many different ways. Some networks carry. If you're on SiriusXM, you're listening online, you're good to go. If you're listening, though, to a specific station that may not carry the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, you can find us broadcasting live each and every day for the entire hour on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. And that's Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. Not only do you get to hear us, you get to see us. Full television production. Keep on listening. We'll be right back.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.
Freedom. We will
podcast, everyone. We're talking about some of the kind of the hits of the Obama administration looking back, and we're also looking forward, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. One of the things, of course, was this attack on Israel. And the president started this in May of 2011. And I want to play that bite, and then I'm going to segue into a bite that the president has about Islam. So here's how he deals with the Jewish state, number seven.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps, so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
Which means Israel would be unprotected. And the president, in the last week of his administration, does not veto a UN resolution that forces Israel, and Israel's not going to comply with this, into a very difficult situation. But I want to juxtapose this, folks, with what the president said about Islam. So he's attacking the Jewish state for 8 years. But this is what he says about Islam. Let's play this bite, because I think this sums it up, number four.
Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. We see it in the history of Andalusia and Cordoba during the Inquisition.
Take the move, call.
I saw it firsthand as a child in Indonesia, where devout Christians worshiped freely in an overwhelmingly Muslim country. That is the spirit we need today.
This is the world that President Barack Obama sees, but it's not the world of reality. And that's the fact of the matter here. All right, we're going to go right to the phones. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yep, Jerry in Oklahoma, you're on the air.
Hey, Jerry.
Line five.
Hey, Jay, I keep hearing John Kerry say that Israel cannot be democratic and Jewish at
Correct.
The same time.
Right.
Every time I hear him say that, my question is very simple. Says who?
Well, says John Kerry and President Obama. They're incorrect, by the way. I'm reviewing right now, editing our newest book that'll be coming out in October on Israel, and it's both the biblical case, the legal case, the moral case for the Jewish state. But that's the view of the administration, and that has been what they allowed in this UN resolution to go forward. Their idea is if you don't have a two-state solution, Israel cannot be a Jewish state and be a democratic state. And that's just a false narrative and a false statement, Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. This parting shot of the Obama administration is to really try and change the opinion of the American people. When it comes to Israel, they've changed the policy as well. They've put Israel in a tough situation at the United Nations now with the world. They have given, I believe, terrorists a reason to carry out their attacks because they've got this official UN Security Council resolution calling what Israel's doing is illegal occupation. So they can carry out attacks against illegal occupiers, and it's no longer potentially terrorism in the eyes of the world or potentially even international law. And so these are the parting shots of the administration is to try and delegitimize the Jewish state of Israel. Obviously, the Trump administration has a very different idea of Israel,
yep.
But it will take time to undo the
yeah.
harm that has been done. It's serious harm.
Yeah, no, it's serious harm. And I'm going to play for you a statement from President Obama from August of 2014, where moral equivalency between Hamas and Israel. Here it is.
I also think it is important to remember that Hamas acts extraordinarily irresponsibly when it is deliberately sighting rocket launchers in population centers, putting populations at risk because of that particular military strategy. Now, having said all that, I've also expressed my distress at what's happened to innocent civilians, including women and children, during the course of this process.
Yeah, you know what here? And there was another line on that says, I'm very glad that we've at least temporarily achieved a ceasefire. This was during the conflict with Gaza. Here's the problem. Moral equivalency. He thinks Hamas is acting extraordinarily irresponsible. That was the problem of this administration. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take more of your calls, more of your comments at 1-800-684-3110. Really quickly to Than. Than, you're expecting Friday to really focus on the transfer of power, not any major policy.
Absolutely. There will be a few nominations that clear the Senate, but basically the first day of real change, Jay, that'll be on Monday when he actually assumes office and starts issuing regulations.
All right. We'll be ready for that as well. All right. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Logan will let you know how you can do that.
That's right. Just give us a call. We got lots of lines open because we just took a bunch of calls. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ, become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or go online at aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Don't forget this one. This was one of my favorites from 2014. President Obama saying he's not going to wait for legislation. He's got a phone and a pen.
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward. And I've got a phone that allows me to convene Americans from every walk of life.
Well, let me tell you this about your pen. You did have a pen. You utilized that pen. We challenged you in court on that pen moves on executive actions, and we won. We won when you tried to stack the National Labor Relations Board. We won when you tried to change immigration policy overnight. Yep. Your pen, you used it. I'll talk about the phone in a minute, but we checkmated him on the pen.
Yeah, I mean, he actually maybe got himself in trouble when he said, we have this by 15. When he said on the immigration issue, when he bragged to everybody, he changed the law on his own. Take a listen. This was him attempting, as the President of the United States, to change the law without Congress. Courts did not look kindly upon that.
You're absolutely right that there have been significant numbers of deportations. That's true. But what you're not paying attention to is the fact that I just took an action to change the law.
Which, of course, presidents cannot do. We challenged him on that, and we succeeded at the U.S. Supreme Court. So, again, successful checkmate there. But, Logan, he did say also he has the phone. And I think that's relevant to this administration, because you've said that Trump's utilization of the media, some people didn't like it, you thought was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. It was a master class. I said that from the very first speech he gave. We sat in this room, and I said, he's going to win. And everyone laughed. Yeah. And I said, no, I felt it then. And yes, I kept thinking there were all these moments. I was like, well, it's over now. And obviously it wasn't, because not only is his connection with the media smart, the way he treats them is a way that I feel like a lot of Americans feel about the mainstream media. So you have that thought process. Going after CNN to journalists is, you know, rude, obnoxious. It's almost, you know, against the Constitution.
Sacrosanct, right?
But
the American people loved it.
American people love it, at least his supporters, because it's saying what they've been wanting to be saying for years and years and years.
Fan, what sense do you change, following up on what Logan just said, on the media access points going forward here?
Well, look, I think Logan's exactly right. And even on the press side, Jay, and here's why. I mean, if you're one of the 49 credentialed press, I think the number's 49, that has a seat in the West Wing briefing room, you probably don't like this change. But if you are any of the others, You love it because now you get to be in the room. You get to ask the president the questions that matter. And by the way, a lot of these issues, one of the common calls that we got on this program was, why isn't the press covering it? Well, it was because people like us and the people who follow our work, we're not in the room or we're not able to ask those questions. That's about to change, and I think most of the press, Jay, I think they're actually going to like it.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Lynn, who's calling online, too.
Hey, Lynn, go ahead.
Hello. And my question is, what about the Democrats who were elected to represent the people, and they're not going to Trump's inaugural?
Yeah, so the boycotting of the inauguration. Here's what I think. I think that's look, they have the right to do it. They don't want to go. You can't make them go. That's not the way America works. We had this moment that you can put everything aside for the smooth, peaceful transition of power to the presidency of the United States. Look, conservatives were not happy with Barack Obama, but you didn't see a whole lot of boycotting going on. But the fact of the matter is, then challenge the policies on Monday. But on the one moment, what we're different than most countries in the world is we do have these peaceful transitions. I think these boycotts are backfiring. I don't think many people will boycott. We know how Washington works. Folks, they all want to be there. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, that's right. They all want to be on the cameras. In fact, they're doing this boycott. I don't even know if they
get attention.
Necessarily be in Washington, D.C. I bet a lot of them will be to do media. It's just that they're not going to the actual event. It's oftentimes, members of Congress don't have to go to this. This is largely ceremonial, and many times, not all of Congress is there. One of the congressmen has been most vocal against, John Lewis. He didn't go to the inaugurals for George W. Bush. And so, again, they're making a point of this. These are some of the least influential people now in Washington, D.C., at least for the next few years, many of these members of Congress. I mean, they can talk as much as they want. They can complain as much as they want. But that's about as far as it will go. The next time people will have a say on the Trump presidency is in 2018.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. All right, look, let's grab another call. And we do have phone lines open at 800-684-3110.
Quite a few. We'll get to a lot of them. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Susan in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I want to know if San Bernardino, New Jersey, New York, workforce violence, if any of that rings true to Obama with regard to any attacks on America.
Look, I mean, let me play for you the soundbite from the president on this. This was so out of touch. This, again, is not reality. Orlando, now they picked up the wife of Omar Martin. So you've got that one. In the Jacksonville shooting, was it Jacksonville? The Fort Lauderdale airport attack. Now the FBI said yesterday that there is more evidence that there was more of a direct link, at least a pledge of allegiance to ISIS that was acknowledged and was in other materials, which we talked about that. We saw the way he changed his appearance. We could see it. So here's what the president said.
No foreign terrorist organization has successfully planned and executed an attack on our homeland. And it's not because they didn't try. Plots have been disrupted, terrorists have been taken off the battlefield, and we've done this even as we drew down nearly 180,000 troops in harm's way in Iraq and Afghanistan. Today, they're just 15,000.
Yeah, and we saw the rise of ISIS. So, I mean, of course, Jordan, that entire statement is a falsehood.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is, again, his
way he wishes it would be.
Yes. He doesn't want to acknowledge that these were people who traveled overseas to get training. I mean, in the case just in Fort Hood, you had communication with Anwar al-Awlaki.
Yeah.
So how can you say that that's not a foreign terrorist organization carrying out a successful plot just because they're utilizing Americans? And if they're getting the training overseas, they're getting the indoctrination overseas, this is, again, trying to parse. What he meant was these large-scale al-Qaeda-type events that we saw on 9/11. And if it's not that, it wasn't foreign terrorists to the president. It was disturbed individuals who may have been inspired, but they weren't. They were acting alone. And then we hear they're not acting alone. Now their wives are getting arrested for conspiracy to actually commit these attacks. And so this was, again, I think it goes down, in my opinion, the most out-of-touch statement by President Obama, other than maybe you can keep your doctor, which was just a flat-out lie when it comes to Obamacare, was this one. When the American people have seen attack after attack after attack on our country, all stemming from a foreign influence, and then claiming that there's no foreign terror attacks, it's absurd.
Yeah, here's number 17. This is the president with his, quote, proper perspective.
What I do insist on is that we maintain a proper perspective and that we do not provide a victory to these terrorist networks by overinflating their importance and suggesting in some fashion that they are an existential threat to the United States or the world order.
So here's what Logan said this early on during the election, that this was the Democrats' weakness, was people were afraid to take their kids to a movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what...
Yeah, and I think that's why a huge percentage of people voted for Donald Trump, even if they didn't agree with him on 100% of the issues. You agreed with him on, well, we know this way isn't working when it comes to security.
National security.
Right? National security and just making sure that everything is fine everywhere you go. It's traditional. You know, and for many years, post 9/11, it was even didn't feel this way. So now I think that's why you have to see a shift in the administration, not necessarily because you support Donald Trump, because you don't support what's going on with
failed
national
policies
security.
That have not helped.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Than, your sense on the national security, I think that's going to be one of the biggest areas we're going to see change.
Jay, this was the most dangerous policy position of this president. Yep. I mean, people kept dying. That's what made the soundbite you just played so offensive because, you know, a week later, there would be more victims from the same perpetrator. I would point to General Mattis's testimony. He said two things. We have to deal a very hard blow to ISIS. And here's the key. He said, we have to do it over there. Jay, a diametrically opposite view of the outgoing president.
No question about that. Let's go ahead and take Pam's call from Macon. Do we have time, Logan? We got a minute and a half.
Yeah, sure. Pam and Macon, then give us a call.
Hey, Pam, you're on the air. Nah, you're not on the air because you got a bad phone call. We'll go back to you and check. All right, folks, we're going to be here. Next segment, we take all your calls on a variety of issues. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Jordan, what are you looking for on that speech Friday? We'll know more tomorrow. What are you expecting from the president?
I think a unifying message to the American people, focusing on American strength, and, of course, laying out in a way that's not a rally, how President Trump at that point sees those first 100 days. That's what this is about. Not the next 4 years, but the first 100 days, his priorities for our country, both at home and abroad.
All right. We are going to take your calls when we come back. We'll take your comments as well. Logan's going to let you know right now how you can do that.
That's right. A bunch of phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. You can obviously always get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. But right now, if you want to get your voice heard on the air, this is probably the best chance you have of making it through. 1-800-684-3110. I'll tell it to you again. Slow it down. 1-800-684-3110. Get on the show today. Right now, as we head to our last segment, we're going to take as many calls as we can and great comments coming in as well at facebook.com/JaySecula. We're back with the last segment and your comments, Jay Sekula Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. Whether it's fighting for the confirmation of a Supreme Court justice dedicated to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law, or working in Congress and in the courts to defund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, the ACLJ is there for you. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you truly want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ, become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or go online at aclj.org.
say, there is something I do want to say that President Obama did speak about that actually was helpful, and he did this in response to you all, millions of you, literally requesting action taken on behalf of Christian pastor Saeed Abedini. Remember this speech at the National Prayer Breakfast. We'd already been working on the case for 2.5, almost 3 years, but here's what he said.
And Pastor Abedini wrote, "Nothing is more valuable to the body of Christ than to see how the Lord is in control and moves ahead of countries and leadership through united prayer." And he closed his letter by describing himself as prisoner for Christ, who is proud to be part of this great nation, the United States of America, that cares for religious freedom around the world. And we're going to keep up this work for Pastor Abedini and all those around the world who are unjustly held or persecuted because of their faith.
So I want to say this. As we've been critical of President Obama and we've disagreed with his policies, when we supported them, which has not been often, we were positive. But this one, he heard from the American people and responded, and the end result was Pastor Abedini was released ultimately from Iran.
Yeah, this was a big roadblock to his bigger deal on the Iranian nuclear deal. They could have looked the other way on this and still move forward. Nothing forces them to do this. But at the end of the day, even though we disagree with that deal, they made this a condition that this had to be done before anything was finalized with Iran. So you can disagree with the deal. We did. Pastor Abedini, Saeed also disagrees with that nuclear deal. This administration, even they didn't push this out of the way for their priority. And I think that was important to show the power of uniting together and crossing party lines.
Yeah. Right. You said they heard the American people. They didn't really just hear the American people. They heard the listeners and the supporters of what we do here at the ACLJ. I mean, that's
from around the world.
Yep. And the Be Heard Project and everything that got together got to the president, where he was making statement after statement after statement, where people were not letting him off about it, where eventually you saw them released. So again, that's due to the work of the ACLJ, but also due to your support and what you guys did to all come together, that we heard from the president of the United States. And the influence of our listeners is definitely heard in Washington. It's very impressive. So I think that's
a really positive. I want to end this on we're taking more calls here, but this was a positive note, Dan, that the president did work on the Abedini matter, and that we appreciate. It took a lot to get him to do it, but once they did it, we got the result.
Well, that was the goal we were looking for, Jay. I mean, it was a long, hard slog like Logan was talking about. But listen, I also think it reflects positively on our American way of government, because if we engage, the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, can engage and make a difference on these cases, as he did. But I would just say to our listeners, this is case in point, even someone who you might disagree with, why it's important to engage the process and work with us as we're trying to make your voice heard, because you can see very tangible results. And this was case in point.
All right, let's go ahead, and we got to grab these calls quick, Logan.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll get as many as we can. Apologize if we don't get to everybody. Sandy in Norfolk, Virginia, you're on the air.
Hey, Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, love you guys. I just wanted to say I'm excited about the press news, and I'm hoping that we, the people, the American people, will learn the truth and hear truth, and I hope that you fellas are all involved too. And please, please, do whatever you can to keep up this wonderful work that you do.
Well, thank you. You know, we couldn't do it without the support of our members and donors from around the country, and you sure did support us in 2016. We had a record year. We really appreciate that. But also, we've got some new opportunities. I mean, we're moving into a brand new multimedia studio that, Logan, really is state-of-the-art is an understatement.
That's right.
It's going to be unreal.
Yep, a state-of-the-art production studio, sound stages, everything you can need to potentially produce. Everything from this radio show all the way up to feature films. We'll be able to do a lot of things in our new facility, and that's because of all of your support. So we appreciate that. And, state of the art. It'll look fantastic. So
we're going to have a lot more content we'll have available. All right, let's go next.
Gary in Arizona line, too.
Hey, Gary, go ahead.
To all of you people, I remember John Kerry's remarks that Israel could not be both a Jewish and a democratic state.
Right.
Well, it is precisely that. And by the way, if the Jews are not allowed to live in Jerusalem, where are they allowed to live? They've only been there like 4,000 years.
Well, yeah, I've just traced that history. The only consistent president in the Holy Land has been the Jewish people. I mean, the Hittites have come and gone. The Amorites are gone. Okay? The Canaanites, gone. So this is what you have. And again, this is going to be we're going to have a battle on the world stage on this one, Jordan. I mean, I think we'll have a friendly, obviously, in the White House, the designated ambassador to Israel from the United States, David Freeman, excellent choice. But the fact is, we have a global battle in defense of Israel. That's not going to change on Monday.
No, and the pressure that Donald Trump and the State Department and people like who will be the ambassador, Ambassador Friedman, they will face from the world, like on the issue of moving the embassy. It is going to be, I think, extreme is fair to say. So Donald Trump is going to face a lot of pressure not to take pro-Israel positions, even though he'll be getting
so
that advice.
So we're going to have to counter that.
And we will have to counter that because basically the majority of the world will be telling him, don't do this. You're risking lives. I mean, that's how this issue is, a life or death kind of an issue, and it can invoke violence. And so he's going to need the support of the American people to break through these longstanding bureaucratic policies.
And that's why we're going to keep digging deep and we're going to keep fighting, folks, because remember that bureaucracy is entrenched. They will fight the president-elect. We're going to be prepared to deal with them, Planned Parenthood and these others. All right, Logan.
All right, let's go to Dixie in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Dixie, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for all your work you
thank
do.
You.
And listen, I want to know your thinking on why Obama, in his last few days in office, has decided to release all these known terrorists.
The Gitmo detainees. You know, look, this was a campaign promise of his stand. He's trying to make good on it. I don't think he will be able to close Gitmo, but he is going to empty it as much as he can. And 30% of these folks go back to the battlefield.
It's his last gasp at enforcing his policy of appeasement and weakness around the world. Jay, he's going to release four more later this week. It looks like he's released 14 over the last week. But yeah, I do believe it's going to stay open, which is a good thing.
Let me give you a prediction. Here's a prediction. Donald Trump does not close Guantanamo Bay.
The prediction will be they'll be building additional towers
to Guantanamo Bay.
More people will be in Guantanamo Bay in prison, especially as the fall of ISIS
comes. Build Guantanamo base everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so I think that you're going to see...
so many.
Again, that facility running up in speed and not treated the way
nicely
it's been
done,
treated,
though.
As if it's somehow what our troops who serve our country are doing there are somehow bad war criminals.
Yep.
All right, let's take our last call. Let's go Diane in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Diane.
Hi. I was just wondering where that power came from for the executive actions that allow the president to do these things that are so against America.
Yeah, so presidents have the power to take executive action. It's outlined in the Constitution. It's outlined in when they go past it, which this president did, you challenge it. Look, President Trump's going to issue executive actions, executive orders. I'll go first with Dan, then to Jordan. Yeah, Dan. Monday.
Well, he's allowed to under Article 2 of the Constitution, and President Obama was too. The problem was he issued executive actions that clearly infringed mainly on the Article 1 powers of Congress.
Yep.
But, Jay, when he did it, we eventually beat him back.
We did.
Don't get caught up on executive actions. Get caught up on what they're doing. They shouldn't contradict the law that's on the book. There are areas, though, the president's job is to execute the laws of the country. Even those long pieces of legislation don't spell out always exactly how to put that into action. That's why the president has that executive power. So don't get caught up on how many executive actions or orders Donald Trump issues. Go to the content. That's what's important.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for is this going to be our last official broadcast on the Obama administration?
Because
we are looking forward tomorrow. Yeah. Unless there is news breaking tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll still be here.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be live tomorrow and Friday, folks. We are hoping to look forward, but you never know what's going to be coming. So we'll stay tuned and follow us on all of the social media platforms. That'll do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
With a new president and a new Congress, there are new challenges. And we want you to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is ready to meet these new challenges. At the ACLJ, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the ACLJ. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org.